Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Dear friends in Christ, with these words from the Holy Gospel today, I wish to encourage you and to inspire you with the consideration that here we are, 2,000 years later, accepting the word of Christ and believing with all our heart and praying for a deeper conviction of soul concerning those, all of the truths of our holy Catholic faith, all that God has revealed to us. It is very important that we form our convictions not based on any person that we've met, any priest we know, or any person in particular, but that we base them, as you already know, of course, on the Catechism, what has been revealed and held fast to for the last 2,000 years and will be until the end of time. This is precisely why, as you know, we reject Vatican II and the teachings that have come from it, and I know you've heard many things about this in the past, but it's very important to reaffirm in your mind and form the conviction that teachings that came about at Vatican II from 1962 to 65 are teachings that are already explicitly condemned by previous popes, and we had warnings from them. Like a father warns his children, don't go here, avoid this person, avoid this occasion of sin, don't do these things. The popes of the past who understood their role as father of the church knew that they had to defend the teachings of the faith. And so we consider Gregory the 16th and his writings, Pius the 9th, St. Pius the 10th, Pius the 11th, and Pius the 12th. They all were singing the same song, so to speak. And the reason we consider it this way is because in the 1700s with Freemasonry and the French Revolution, the attack on the faith at that time, we know that there were clergy that were liberal, and they were starting to teach perverted things, and the Pope was warning against this and reminding the faithful about this. And this is why, with the writings of Gregory the 16th and Pius the 9th, etc. And I say all of this because, as you know, in the epistle today, this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. And so here at Mount St. Michael, in the position of CMRI, which is found in the back of the Reign of Mary, it clearly expresses and explains what I've just mentioned. We are not going along with the new religion. We're not bending to the comfort. We're not going to compromise with what sounds nice but is explicitly condemned. It's not a worry. It's not a concern. It's not a problem. It's condemned. And so therefore we hold fast, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. And so long as we hold fast to this, we have a solid foundation on which to look at the world and how to approach the world and how to deal with it. But if our thinking becomes confused because we have opinions that we rather hold to than the solid faith which we should be holding to, then we will become confused. And so this is very important in this time, because when there is a change of the foundational teachings of the faith, then you will see a moral collapse in society. And that's exactly what we're seeing before our eyes today. All the immorality, which is like an avalanche that's coming towards us now, and even greater, that has happened, you know, in the recent years, all of the stuff which shouldn't even be mentioned in our conversations, stuff that's going on now, is because the foundational truths of the faith have been cast aside, and without the foundation and the strong teachings of the faith to stand by, then there comes about a moral collapse in society. And so I tell you this so that you can be a good example to others and share this with them, because when people are confused, it's due to lack of willpower to look at the truth and to see and to find it and to be convicted about it, because it has been given by Almighty God. And we have this in the epistle today. The testimony of men is good. We tell each other the truth about life and what we're doing with our lives and things that have happened, and we relate stories to each other. This is the testimony of men, but the testimony of Almighty God is far greater. And this is our holy Catholic faith. I try to explain this to people that aren't obviously of the faith and have been scandalized by what they have seen on the news about this abuse and that abuse in the last 20 or 30 years. And the way I explain it to them is I say, you know, when a policeman is bad and he does wrong things and he needs to be put aside and we get another policeman, we do that. But the police station remains the same and the law is the same. And that's the same with our faith. If people do things, don't use that as an excuse. People are weak. And our Lord said scandals will happen. But you cannot compare people's behavior with the truth. And this is very important to have this conviction in mind, that we make a distinction between what has been taught and what people do. Because the devil uses modern media communications to keep scandalizing people and to keep them away from the truth, to use people as an excuse to not hold to the faith. And we know better than that. We know that people make mistakes. We put that aside. We pray for them. But the truth is the truth. It's the rock-solid foundation, and we are seeing the world implode before our eyes because it has rejected the light. The very light that you saw blessed at Easter time, the lights were off in the church, Lumen Christi, the light of Christ, Deo Gratias, Christ is the light of the world, and now people have rejected that. And St. Paul tells us there will come a time in which the faith will actually be taken away from the Gentiles and given back to the Jews. And it seems as if we're going through that period right now. It's symbolized at Holy Mass by the missal being moved back to the other side of the altar. In the meantime, we hold fast, we be a good example, and we know that just as our forefathers in the faith have suffered greatly to hold to the truth, we must do the same. No compromise, no going along with the immorality and all the things that are taking place before our eyes. As you know, in the Holy Gospel today, our Lord tells us many times, peace be to you. And what's very important to keep in mind is that we can maintain a solid, healthy peace in our life and happiness of soul, despite the world being in a mess. And this is primarily to take place through the words of our Lord today, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. I'm talking, of course, about the sacrament of confession, in which we go in private to the priest, we reveal our soul, we get absolution for our sins, and we change our life for the better. And I just want to take this opportunity to recommend to all of you, some of you I'm sure go to confession on a weekly basis, and it's known that some of the saints actually went on a daily basis to confession. And so it's very important to have that desire to do so and to see it as a great means of purifying the soul. St. Augustine said, Lord, may I know thee that I may know myself. And there are many people today in the world, the majority of them, in fact, because most of them are not baptized, they don't know themselves. It's through the knowledge of our faith that we come to understand ourselves. And if we can get to the young children, as God wishes us to do so, before the perverted world does, then they won't go along with what's going on at the moment, this gender stuff and all that's taking place. They will not go that route because they know that God made them. And no one gets to decide what they want to be because God already decided that, as it says in the first page of the Catechism, God made me. And he made me a man and he made you a woman, etc. He made the decision. When we have those convictions and we're solid in that, then our outlook on life is going to be good and holy and strong, and we'll be able to understand why the world is in the mess that it's in. And so very important, as you know. Now, with regards to regular confession, it's important to understand, as I said, that through regular examination of conscience and going to the Holy Sacrament of Penance, that we come to understand ourselves better and understand our weaknesses. Because we all have a predominant fault, we all have a human nature, and we have good points and bad points about our particular temperament, and we have to understand this, and it's through the sacrament of confession that we do so. You know that the Protestants argue that, you know, they go directly to the Lord and they don't need a priest. And we know that spiritual writers tell us any man that takes himself for a spiritual director is a fool. And the beauty of confession is we can go in and get the truth concerning what is right and what is wrong. What does the church teach morally about everything? And so I just want to encourage anyone here that only goes once a year, hopefully not, anyone that goes every 2 or 3 months, you can improve on that, to go once a week. And to use confession not to pull yourself out of sin, but to use confession to keep yourself from falling into sin. And there's a big difference there. Because sacred scripture tells us the just man falls 7 times a day. We have a fallen human nature. We have weaknesses, and venial sin does happen. But we can easily avoid mortal sin by regular confession, as our blessed Lord has given it to us. You've heard it said many times before, I'm sure, but we know that there's no point in history that anyone can point to and say this priest or this pope or bishop invented confession. That actually, on the day of our Lord's resurrection from the dead, peace be to you, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. And this is a greater power given to man than if we all walk down to the cemetery right now and raise somebody out of the grave. We would be astounded by that. It would be a great miracle. It would be the talk of the town. But that's bodily resurrection from the dead. Spiritual is even greater, which takes place in the sacrament of confession. There's no greater peace to one soul than the peace of soul which is given through the sacrament of confession. And our Lord in his wisdom knew this. I'm sure you can all testify to that fact, being able to go regularly to put out the garbage, so to speak, once a week. Because if we leave the garbage full in the garage for 6 months, we don't want to go in there. The rats are in there, there's a mess, it stinks, and we've delayed it and we actually don't know what's in there anymore. And it's sort of like that with confession. If we're delaying it and we forget and all of this, we're not clear on where our soul is, and so we should go regularly to the sacrament of confession. So we know, once again, our divine Lord, in his wisdom, has given us this very practical and beautiful aid, because it's such a relief of soul to be able to get off of our minds and hearts any problem that we may have, and again, objectively, to get the answers concerning our holy Catholic faith. So as we continue with Holy Mass today, let us have a desire to do this, to go to confession regularly, and remember the words of our divine Lord, because you have seen Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. And there's great merit for us involved in not wanting to see miracles, and not wanting to have the consolation of seeing, but firmly believing. And this is something we can gain great merit from by simply submitting our hearts and minds to the truth. And it's one very important point to keep in mind. You can share it with people. Sure, you have before, maybe, but God is infinite and almighty and can do all things, but there's one thing God cannot do, and that's change his mind. And the Holy Catholic faith is his mind. All we need do is hold fast to that, hold strong to it, not alter it and not tweak it in any way to go along with the crowd. And that's what they did at Vatican II with the new teachings, the new religion, and we reject that, to hold fast as our forefathers have done. People use the excuse, oh, you've had bad popes before. Yes, not all of them are canonized. But do you know what? Even those that had problems held to the faith. They held to the same teachings, even though in their own personal life they had troubles. Whereas at Vatican II, they brought in 6 Protestant ministers. As you know, all of that took place to change the faith, to go along with the crowd, and we are not going to do that. So let us pray to our divine Lord for this conviction of faith, the strength of soul, and to believe. As now St. Thomas does believe, even though he got to see, that we do not see, we do not wish for those miracles, but we wish to firmly believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.